Okay. Very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is Tuesday, 9 of April 2019. So we will develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bansi Si Jiya Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Si Jiya Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Si Jiya Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si In Pusa. Namo Quan Si In Pusa. Namo Quan Si In Pusa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Tijang Wang Pusa. Namo Tijang Wang Pusa. Namo Tijang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuto Bhagawa. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Okay. Oh, Yun Chan offer the mango. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the Vandana onward. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musawada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we are chant the Padipa Puja offering of light. Ganna Sarapa Ditena Dipena Tamadangsina Tiloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonudang. Ganda Sambarayutena do pe na hang sugang hina puja ye puja niyang tang puja baja namutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi betang kesumena nena punena matena ceho tumokang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata yati vinasa bawang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merit to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Jam. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay. You all can be seated and we can have half an hour of meditation. Silent meditation. Just relax body and mind. Yeah, then we will off the light. Just maintain attentiveness. Yeah. For those who already know how to meditate, please proceed. For those who still need to train your mind, develop the spiritual faculty, you can proceed too. So if you need to develop the mind sweeping method to decondition your heedless thinking, you can also do it. Then you combine with loving kindness or metta, following the instruction given earlier on. If you are new, you should go back and read up that blue book, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha, Part 1. It's all clearly written, and the instruction are all clearly given too. So go back and read it up. Then you have to develop this meditation on your own so that you understand what you are doing in the name of meditation. The key to understanding meditation is the four support. Relax, silence your mind to maintain awareness. Don't do anything. Then whatever thought that arises, let it arise. Don't suppress it, don't control it, don't do anything to it. Just let it be. The untrained mind is heedless. It will think, it will arise the thought. You let it be, you don't create any mental hindrance. Then if you are able to be at peace with it, your mind will naturally settle down. And it will be at peace, naturally. Then whatever thought that is of the nature to arise, they will arise. Then after some time, if you don't give them any meaning, it will slow down, slow down. Then all of a sudden, your mind becomes very quiet. Then you maintain awareness. So the first support is relax into every mind state that arises, followed by the second support, which is just silence your mind. The moment you are silent without thought, you are already aware. So that awareness will be there on its own. But if you have not developed the spiritual faculty, if your mental hindrance are still there, then thought will arise. Never mind, just let it be. We have the untrained mind will think. The untrained mind will arise the thought. So you just let it be. The thought that is dependent originating, condition arising, will start to slow down, until finally it becomes very quiet. Then you will experience what they call a type of spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, which they call piti. Then you continue to relax and allow it to be silent, everything. Then you will experience the more refined mind state. From piti, it can go to sukhang, or spiritual blissfulness of mind. Then you will accumulate into what they call the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind. The mind becomes very quiet and very still, with no movement. So the first support is relax. Second support is just maintain the awareness. Develop the ability to be aware. Then after it has the ability to be aware, you have to allow that state to be as long as you can. That's why it's 24-hour third support. Try to maintain that awareness for as long as you can. Technically, it's throughout the day, your waking moment, then later on, 24-hour, even into your sleeping moments. Then the last support is trust. Trust your nature to do. No need to use thought. No thought is involved in the final support. So the final support is only done by those who have developed the ability to realize their true mind. Otherwise, you don't need to do that. You just focus on the first two support, then maintain the awareness for as long as you can. Then use it to meditate, to understand what is going on, to understand clearly who are you, what are you, the five aggregate of form and mind. Okay, I will set the timing for the half an hour. Then after that, I will let you meditate. When you hear the bell, you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heavenly release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho vijacarana sampano sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sandhittiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachyatam Veditadbo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Kasango Samichi patipanno bhagavato savakasango Yadidam chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo, Dakineyo, Anjali Karaneyo, Anutaram Punya Ketang Lokasati. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Trupaja. Buddhang pujayame, Dhammang pujayame, Sanghang pujayame. Okay, can we sit there? and turn the page 452. We shall continue from where we stop. Yeah, go on, get the chair. Yeah, just put it here. Yeah. Okay, page 452, the Buddha and his teaching. Eh? We will continue from the section where we supposed to continue the King Melinda's question. So this King Melinda is a very good king. He has a lot of good question to ask Nagasena, one of the disciples of the Buddha. So he asked the Venerable Nagasena, he said, if someone die here and is reborn in the world of the Brahma realm, and another one die here and is reborn in Kashmir, somewhere in India, which of them would arrive first? So this was a question posed by the King Melinda. Yeah? What do you think? Yeah? Who will take birth first? Yeah? Do you think the distant matter? It doesn't matter. Because the way Venerable Nagasena answered him is very, very unique. And also quite a good analogy. Venerable Nagasena answered the king. He said, they would arrive at the same time, O king. In which town were you born, O king? He said, in the village called Kalasi, Venerable Sir. How far is Kalasi from here, O king? He said, about 200 miles, Venerable. And how far is Kashmir from here, O king? About 12 miles, Venerable. Now think of that village Kalasi, O king. Then the king replied, I have done so, Venerable. And now think of Kashmir, O king. It is done, Venerable. Which of these two, O king, do you think the more slowly and which is more quickly? Both are equally quick, Venerable Sir. So Venerable Nagasena replied to the king by telling the king, just so, O king, he who died here and is reborn in the world of Brahma is not reborn later than he who dies here who is reborn in Kashmir. Give me one more example or simile, Venerable Sir. What do you think, O king? Suppose two birds were flying in the air and they should settle at the same time, one upon a higher and the other upon a lower tree. Which bird's shadow would first fall upon the earth and which bird's later? The king answered, both shadows would appear at the same time, not one of them earlier and the other later. So this is how Venerable Nagasena actually answered skillfully to the king. Because we know it's like the speed of light, the shadow from the birds. So if over just a short distance, the time is almost the same because you cannot calculate, it's too minute a difference. But consciousness is even faster than the speed of light. Consciousness is, there is no limitation to its speed. Like the speed of light, you can calculate. It's very fast, but you can calculate. So the scientists managed to calculate 186,000 miles per second. Not per day or per hour, per second. 1 second, it can travel 186,000 mouth, not meter, mouth. And one mile is about 1.6 meter. Yeah. So you multiply by that, I think it's about 1.6 times 180 something. It's about 3 million kilometer per second. Yeah, something like that. So because of that speed, that's why over short distance, it's like they will arrive at the same time. But consciousness is even faster, because when we talk about the speed of light, yeah, scientists already knew if you want to reach a star system that is, let's say, 1 light year away, you have to travel at the speed of light for 1 year to reach there. So if it's 10 light year, you travel for 10 years. But scientists has the ability to probe distance which are much further. They realize the universe of ours, there is still no boundary even after 15 over light years, a billion, sorry, 15 over billions of light years. Means you travel at the speed of light, you travel for 15 billion years at the speed of light, you still haven't reached the boundary. Yeah. So that is the extensiveness of our universe. Yeah. Because the light that they receive, and through their spectrum calculation and all those things, they can calculate the distance, and the distance is really far. Yeah, really far. So because of that, speed of light, although very fast, but compared to consciousness, is nothing. Yeah. Because consciousness, the moment, yeah, when you talk about consciousness, it can actually move very fast. There is no speed. Yeah. Because consciousness, when you are in the state of awareness, oneness, you are actually everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere. Because your nature pervades the whole of the universe. That's why we call it the oneness nature. Mm. Then the next question is also very interesting. So this question again is by the king. Are the sperm and ovum cells always ready, waiting to take up the rebirth thought or rebirth consciousness? Which means he say every time when somebody die, where he thought only take human birth. He say, will it be possible that there is a sperm and ovum ready to receive this rebirth consciousness? What do you think? What do you think? Don't look at the answer. What do you think based on your understanding? Do you think it's always there? Anybody want to try? Yun Chan want to try? Kok Lun. Sometimes there, sometimes not there. The law of karma never make mistake. Yeah. Anybody else on the try? Nobody? Yeah. Tell me. Yes.
I think depend on which plane they went.
Yeah, and very good. Sadhu. Very good.
The plane meets ovum or sperm or immediate.
Sometimes it's spontaneous birth. So spontaneous birth, you don't need to have the sperm in the ovum ready, understand? Or? Then sometimes you go down the hell rhyme, plenty of space for you. Spontaneous birth down there. Anytime you can go down. But if you go to animal rhyme, depend on which animal. Some are mammals. So that one will have conception and all those things. But like we understand, our planet Earth is just one of the what they call very, very insignificant planet in the entire universe. Do you understand? Do you know how vast the universe is or not? The Buddha said the amount of sand in the Ganges River, which is so long, every of this sand is a potential star. You understand? And the number of stars in the heaven, according to the Buddha, is more than the sand in the Ganges. Do you know how vast the universe is? Just our Milky Way. Do you know how vast and how big is it or not? The number of stars is incalculable. Trillions and trillions of stars. And that is just our Milky Way, you know. And that is just within us. So what about those billions and billions of light years away? Yeah? We are talking about 15 billion light years, no? Not 15 billion miles, no? 15 billion miles already very far, isn't it? But 15 billion light years, no? Just imagine how immense and how vast this. And yet, it's not the boundary yet. Because our telescope not powerful enough to probe further. Maybe by the time they probe further, I don't know. Could be a lot more further. So this is the uniqueness of our universe. Then according to the Buddha, the number of planes of existence, although he subdivided them into 31, but there are other existence which is not within the 31 plane. Like all the pure land that Mahayana talk about, they are not within the 31 plane. Then even within the 31 plane, there are so many of this type of birth. Even animal realm, you know how many type of animals. Even our human species, which is supposed to be a very rare type of birth. That's why birth as a human being is very rare. And to be born a human, and to be born during the Buddha Sasana is even more rare. Then when you take other birth, ours is not the only planet that can sustain life. Our sun is just one of the countless stars in this universe. So within our solar system, means we got, I think we have, how many planets? The known one is about 11. The unknown one still don't know. Then there are a lot of other planetary what they call, you don't call them planets, you call them moon. What is the difference between moon and planet? Do you know that? Our moon is 1/6 our size, no, not small. No. Hey, our moon is fairly big, no, 1/6 our size, no, of Earth. What is the difference between planet and moon? Do you know that? You just don't know. You didn't study science, huh? When you study science, you don't need to study all the stars. You study science, you will study the star system, the universe. Or you all don't study. Or you don't study physics. The planetary movement, gravity and all those things. Or you accountant, that's why you don't study so detailed. Accountant study less. Accountant normally, what they study is, we call that what type of science? There are two types of science. One is pure science. The other one is what science?
Applied science.
No. Not applied science. The art student go and take one. Additional science, I think. Additional science. General science. General science. Yeah, PG is correct. General science. So we all study pure science. So pure science, we break the science into physics, chemistry, and biology. So you all study general science. Or I remember it's additional science. I remember my school, they call it Form 4. If you're not sure you want to study arts or science, you go in between, additional science. Then additional science, they don't take ed maths, they take general maths. But you can end up as accountant. So those who take pure science, they tend to go for more option, because you can either study medicine or study applied science, or even study engineering and all those things. Whereas arts is pure arts. So the one in between one, I got a lot of classmates who become accountants too, because lawyers, accountants, because they can't actually do science. Where their result, science subject is not good enough. So the pure science, they cut them off. So they go to arts. And some of them take the general science. So there is a combination. They are not in pure science, but they also take general maths, general science, and other things. So because of that, they have the possibility of becoming accountant because of their maths and general science. But arts are for those who take law and all those things, then social science. Now a lot of art subjects, mass comm and all those things, marketing, economics, a lot. Why did I go into all this? Oh, planner. So regarding all this planet, the difference between a planet and a moon is the planet evolve around the sun. You understand? If you go around the sun, you are called a planet. You understand? If you go around the planet, you are called a moon. So now you understand. So sometimes moon can be bigger than planet. Our Mercury and Venus, they are very small. Pluto is also even smaller, I think. But Saturn is very big. Saturn got a ring on. Got a, what? They call a ring. Ice layer of ring, layer ice. Then there are a lot of other planets which they believe habitable. They say Mars is habitable. Mars is after Earth, the fourth planet. So Mars, because it's further from Earth, is supposed to be more extreme in the weather. Means at night, the other side which is not facing the sun will be very cold. Very cold. Mercury is too hot. Venus also relatively hot. But they say Venus got inhabitants. You believe or not, I don't know. I heard from one of my teacher. He met an inhabitant from Venus. And this, I don't know whether you call him a human being or a living being. He came to Earth. He came to Earth and take human form. And when he met him, they talk. That's why all this, no need to know. But very funny, you know, my this teacher. He tell me a lot of things that he never tell other people. How he actually met all these strange things. Then he even told me how he went out of the body and went to the, I don't know what they call that. I also forgot the name, where all these beings up there, they actually are very, very different dimension being. Then after he went back up there, they scolded him, no? Questioned him and scolded him, no? He said, "Why are you here? You are not supposed to be here." Because he came out of the body, you know? He went through the consciousness and he went up to those planes. That's why a lot of these things, unless you are in this spiritual field or spiritual line, you cannot understand. So no need to understand. Okay. I will read on, then you will understand. So here, according to the author, according to Buddhism, living beings are infinite in number, see? So this author also know. And so our world system, that's why Tammy was right, not necessarily only human birth, there can be other plane of existence. Nor is the impregnated ovum the only route to rebirth, see? You not necessarily go through the ovum, the sperm and ovum, means womb, birth. Yeah. Earth, an almost insignificant speck of dust, he forgot the word dust, in this universe, is not the only habitable planet or plane. And human beings are not the only living beings. So you read note 2 down there. There are about 1 million planetary systems in the Milky Way in which life may exist. See, just our Milky Way, there is, according to scientists, they roughly estimate at least 1 million world system or planetary system in the Milky Way in which life can exist. So just our Milky Way is already so many. Or he even give you the reference. See Fred Hoyer, The Nature of the Universe, page 87 to 89. I think this must be the author, Fred Hoyer. Hoyer, I don't know how to pronounce. H-O-Y-L-E. Then as such, it is not impossible to believe that there will always be an appropriate place to receive the last thought moment or revibration or vibration. A point is always ready to receive the falling stone. So this one is the author's explanation. So when he talk about this last thought moment, because the last thought moment immediately condition rebirth consciousness. So he said the last thought moment through the law of karma, it will condition rebirth consciousness. And this rebirth consciousness is definitely available at any time. That's why being can die anytime. Rebirth can take place anytime. Especially spontaneous birth doesn't go through the womb and all those things. So you don't need anything. It just appear. But even the womb one, let's say if the population is so many, it's just like on this planet of our Earth. Do you know every second how many babies are born or not? You got no statistics. Because one day is 24 hours in it. So 24 times 24 times 60 become minute, isn't it? And that number is not very big, isn't it? 1,000 plus, isn't it? So times another 60 is only not much, isn't it? 10 or 1,000 times 6, maybe 100 over 1,000, 100 over 1,000. So 100 over 1,000 human being a day born is not much, isn't it? That's why every second is a few baby. I don't know how many. depending on our Earth's population. Let's say we got 7 billion now. 7 billion. So, growth rate, birth rate is how many percent? At any one time, to maintain this birth rate, average lifespan, let's say, is 70 or 75. Everyone will die. But we are growing, you know. We are growing, you know. Our population is keep on growing, you know. At least, I think, 2-3% a year, if I'm not wrong. But certain countries, very fertile. Certain countries, they grow very fast, especially certain particular religion. They tend to have big family. Last time, Chinese also like that one. During my family, my parents' time, I think very common to have 8 kids, 9 kids, 10 kids. On there. Some one football team also not enough. I have heard some are 30 over children. Of course, many wives, not one wife. I got one classmate, I think he was from the second wife one. So they asked him this question, in your family, you are number what? He said, I don't know. What you mean you don't know? In your family, you number what also you don't know? He said, so many brother and sister, and so many I didn't see them before one also. Because we got 3 wives. And everyone also more than a dozen or no. So that's why he said 30 over of them know. How do I know which number I am? But the mother one he know lah. The mother giver one within his family one he know. But he say you ask about the father's one, he don't know. Then some maybe not legitimate one. Some maybe they don't know where they go and fool around. Then, like one of them used to joke last time because we are northern region. We stay Alostar near to Thailand, you know. So they say, if you don't count Padang Besar side, here my family, I got so many children. So that was a joke. They always have this joke. So with regards to rebirth, this is the understanding that we must have because of the immensity of the universe. Then the 31 plane of existence, then each and every plane is so immense. Then there are a lot of planes of existence where rebirth is spontaneous. No need to go through the womb. And because of that, a lot of people cannot understand why the Buddha gave the analogy of human birth. He said human birth is so rare. You remember a blind turtle swimming in the ocean? Every 100 years surface one time. And there's a turtle eggshell where the opening, the aperture is slightly bigger than the head of the turtle. So is it every 100 years the blind turtle someone surface and pop his head out. The probability of that turtle's head going into the turtle's aperture is the probability of birth as a human being. You know how rare or not? And every 100 years only come out once. And to have that probability of that turtle going through the aperture of the turtle egg, I tell you, it's like that number is so rare, so small. But then as human being, we always say, why is it so difficult to have a baby? Get married lah. Then how many you want? But if you look at it from that point of view, then you think the Buddha is wrong. No, the Buddha is not wrong. He's talking about the number of beings compared to human. Understand? Because in the other plane, the number of beings, that's why human beings are a very, very rare species. Very rare. And the numbers are very small. You are really small. That's why to be born as a human being is very rare indeed. Because as a human being, you have a great potential to become even a Sammasambuddha if you go to cultivate your mind. But if you neglect the cultivation become heedless, you can go down to the lowest rung. If you do the five heinous act or the heavy karma, you can really go down to the hell of it. Rhyme for very very long too. So it's the great possibility of the two extreme. So the probability is the number of beings that are born compared to human being, the probability is so small. That's why birth as a human being is very very rare. And the Buddha is correct. He is not wrong. Okay, we finish that chapter. The next chapter is very interesting. Chapter 29. What is it that is reborn? Then in the bracket, what did the text author say? The Buddhist understanding is there is no permanent unchanging soul that transmigrate and enters that new birth. No. No such thing. The soul theory belongs to those who believe in God. Mainly, those who believe in God. Yeah. But they like to call that random of consciousness as the soul. Yeah. Because a lot of, even some Buddhists, that's why they talk about transmigration and all those things. Yeah. You heard of the Tibetan, they always talk about transmigration. Yeah. They believe something transmigrated means migration. You know what is migration? That's why nowadays, among the Chinese, when somebody die, they don't say they die. They say migrated already. 移民了. migrated already. So, the first time I heard it, I also felt funny. You know? Huh? He migrated? That guy don't even know English. How to migrate? Oh, he said, not that type of migration. He migrated to another rhyme already. So all this is what people use as a terminology for them to describe. It's a better way to describe that. Oh, that person died already. Or especially in the Chinese culture, our dialect, it is very like inappropriate to like use the word die already. Then the English word is more tactful. Pass away already. Pass away already. It means migrated to another rhyme. Your life. That one can be the meaning too. Means change body already. Call his son, the Cantonese version, yes. So, it's nothing to be pantang or what word you use? Like they don't like to talk about death. Taboo, huh? Taboo, the word. It's, pass the mic, pass the mic. There, Yun Chan there. Pass the mic. Pak Masuri. Oh, Stephanie. Quiet. Din on.
So-and-so don't want to eat rice already.
That's another way of saying it in a very polite way. But most Chinese, I realize, they're very concern or they don't like to talk about death. It's like taboo to them. Actually, it's nothing. What is death? Who died? What died? Every time I ask you that question, I don't know whether you are really contemplate or not. And now the question of chapter 29 is, what is it that is reborn? Now we better go into this question. I still got some space in the whiteboard. Okay. The three questions. What die? Who die? And what is reborn? Come. Let us discuss this. Who die? You die. No, no, that one is correct, but what die? Who die? We are not talking about die already, go away. Yeah. What is it that die? And who is it that die? Do you mean you die?
The body die.
Of course, the body die. Then what else? Then what happened to your consciousness, your mind? The Thai people very good, no? Might die. Might die means they don't understand, no? But to the Hokkien, he don't want to die, no? Might die. Might see. No
breath.
Of course, no breath will lead to death, but what is it that die? Is it really a person die? Or somebody die? Yeah? We can never deny, we slowly go into it. We have a form and a mind. Correct or not? Huh? So, you have a physical body. Physical body. Then you have the consciousness. So this is what they call the human being. Then, according to the doctor, like our sister say, the breath no more, heartbeat stop. Your heartbeat stop, breath no more. They say die. What does it mean? They say this human being die already. He give you a death cert. When you born, he give you a birth cert. When you die, you have a death cert. When you are still alive, you go to university, they give you a degree. Or they give you a certificate. So, what is the meaning of the human being die? Correct, no more life force. But what is the more relevant, significant? What does it mean when you say the human being die? The Buddha already explained it there. This human being is what? Form and mind, understand or not? Form and mind, fire aggregate. What actually happened upon death? The consciousness separate from the form. Understand now? Then no more condition for it to become the fire aggregate. You understand? That's why the fire aggregate disperse. Then you say die. But who die? I always answer you that no one die. He know you, he know me. This guy, the human being, the five degree of form in mind, was never you. You understand? It's just a separation of the consciousness from the form. And this form made of element, how can it be you? Understand? The four element. It will go the way of nature. That's why this one will get old, get sick, and one day die. And it's just so simple. That's why is there... People are so, like, afraid of death. It's like something very frightening. They fear death. You know why they fear death? Because they don't know where they will go. Do you think you go somewhere? Huh? You say, I take birth. Do you think you take birth? The form and mind is subject to karma, understand or not? The form and mind will take rebirth. It's not you, understand or not? That's why you don't take care of karma, you don't understand this, then you worry. Oh, they say, die already, I go down to hell, I suffer like mad, no? Do you think it's you? That one that went down, do you think it's you? It's definitely another form of mind, eh? Then why you worry? Some people think like that, no? I do all the thing I want to do first, then after that, another fellow get the coming, no? Oh, they think it's like that, no? There is no such thing, man. as far as karma is concerned, the river of consciousness inherit everything that your karmic nature has done. Understand? But this karmic nature of yours, you like it or not, is the one that is responsible. That's why you are born of that karmic nature, born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of, and you cannot run. The consciousness that went in, the new one, is also linked and connected to you. That's why you reap what you sow. You cannot run because this five degree of form and mind, even though not you, but it's connected to you, to karma. And this is subject to karma. That is what the Dhamma is all about. And you have to understand, this is not you. Then self-delusion, sakkayaditti, no more there. Then you will know how to live life. So this one is a karmically conditioned form and mind for you to come to this world, to live life, to experience life, to do all the things that you can through using this form and mind. Yeah, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, or to cultivate, or whatever, or to even experience the karmic friction and honesty. So the Dhamma is to understand all this so that you understand life, so that you understand clearly who you are, what you are, then you will know how to die. And you will ultimately know no one die, nothing die. He know you, he know me. And your true nature is not all this. It is entirely different. But it's connected to this form of mind, where the gateway to that nature, to realize that thing, is all. You need a vehicle and a tool to come. And you need this to connect, to cultivate, to develop the understanding, the perfection, the cultivation. So this is what you need to understand. And this one is very, very difficult to understand, because very few people understand this. Yeah. After this, we can go through the book. I don't know what the book write. Yeah. But the title is very interesting. What takes place? What is rebirth? What takes rebirth, is it? Yeah, what is it that is reborn now? What takes rebirth? Yeah. So this is a question that you have to inquire, probe. Through meditation, you will understand. So now, what is the answer? Yeah? Before going into the text. Yeah? What is it that is reborn? Of course, it's related to karmic. Yeah? So it's another form of mind, understand, connected to your karmic nature. You cannot say it's you or not you, understand? That's why you turn to the chapter 29. Yeah? You see the beginning, Visuddhimagga, what does Visuddhimagga's answer? Neither the same, nor yet another. This is like not answering you, isn't it? Yeah? Neither is it the same or another. Then what is it? He also cannot tell you, understand? But the answer is another form of mind, conditioned by your karmic nature. You understand? It's related, but it's neither the previous one or the another new one. Understand? But this one is connected to you because of the karmic nature. So law of karma is very powerful. You cannot take it for granted. You cannot become heedless and do what you like. That's why there is a duty that one must perform towards this form of mind. But this form of mind is subject to karma. You cannot simply do things. You cannot simply say things or arise the inappropriate wrong thought. So all this is part and parcel of the cultivation. When you understand clearly that this five degree of form of mind is not you, it is impermanent, dependent originating, condition arising, not a permanent unchanging entity. Therefore, it goes the way of nature. And because it's impermanent, subject to nature's law, you can't have things your way. You want things your way, you suffer. That's why the universal characteristics of impermanent leading to suffering is there. Then the last universal characteristic is because it's not a permanent unchanging entity, that's why it's non-self. is not something that you can hold on to, cling on to, grasp on to and say, this is me, this is I. Means an eternal entity. So these are the teachings that the Buddha actually put forth after he has came to the great enlightenment or realization underneath the Bodhi tree. That's why he can teach us all these beautiful teachings. We're still earlier. Correct, huh? 9:50, huh? Still got 40 minutes. So maybe we continue. Huh? Apart from mind and matter, which constitute the so-called being. So this mind and matter means form and mind. Huh? Five aggregate of form and mind. Buddhism does not assert the existence of an immortal soul or an eternal ego, which man has obtained in a mysterious way from an equally mysterious source. So this one is the author's jovial expression. Huh? A soul which is eternal must necessarily remain always the same without any change, whatever. If the soul which is supposed to be the essence of man is eternal, there could be neither a rise or a fall. Nor could one explain why different souls are so variously constituted at the outset. To justify the existence of an endless felicity in an eternal heaven and unending torment in an eternal hell, it is absolutely necessary to postulate an immortal soul. So this is how they try to explain. Eh? Especially those religions that believe in God, because they believe ultimately they will go to eternal heaven and be with God. They call reunion with God. It should be said, or writes Bertrand Russell. Oh, this Bertrand Russell is very famous. He wrote a very famous book, Why I'm Not a Christian. He's very good. Actually, he was a Christian. And he was a very, very famous Christian. Because he's also a professor in a university. But because his teaching, he understands the teaching so well. Sometimes he is very critical of the Bible. The way he really speak out, the Christian don't like him. No? And you know what happened? No? The Christian got a lot of followers in the university and in the political scenario. So they go and use their influence and power to get rid of this follower. So he lost his job in the university. You know? Then he got so fed up with the way they did it. He finally wrote this book, Why I'm Not a Christian. But his book is very good. I read about it in Form 4. And my teacher also liked the book. Then one of my classmates, very close to me, this guy also, he never believed anything. He's an atheist. But he liked to read. He read a lot. His English is very good. I still remember his name, Lim Eng Chik. He is very close to me at that time. And he actually liked me because he know academically I'm very good. So I told you about the physics teacher when he was explaining one whole lesson, I think about half an hour about certain particular topic. Then he was sitting next to me in the class. Then I told him, no need like that one. So long winded. I said, the definition, straight away the answer is there already. Then he also cannot understand what I say, you know. But he laughed. He laughed. And because he laughed, after the teacher finished the lecture, he pointed to him. He said, why did you laugh just now? He stand up and said, Ken Kun say, no need to go long-winded like that half an hour. He said, from the deaf nation, the answer straight away there. Wow, after that, the whole class looked at me, you know. Then this teacher also know I very good. So he also dare not comment. He said, can you please explain? So I stand up and I explain the whole thing. He still cannot get here. Even the other classmates also cannot get here. Everybody was scratching their head. I said, from the damnation, the answer is there, straight away. Then finally, I said, anybody understand? The class, nobody understand. Then I had to go out there to explain. You know. I think it took me about 5 minutes to make it like, not to say clear to the class, like acceptable to them, understand? I have to go and define a lot of things. So, because of that, this is the guy who liked to read. You know. So he passed me that book. You know. I saw him reading. I remember it's a red cover and paperback. You know. He read. When he read, he keep on laughing. You know. Then I said, what book is it? He passed it to me. You know. And finally, you know what he told me? I give to you. I said. He gave that book to me. You know. I actually kept it and brought it to until I reached the university. But after that, I think I clear and I don't know where I throw that book away. I don't know whether it's still with me or not. I also don't know. But it's already brown color, already very old. The paper like, you know the paperback one, turn brown very fast. On it. But that book was very good. I read that book 3 times. I like the way he presented it. You know what he said in the book or not? He said, of all the scripture, the religious book, he dared to identify the Bible is one of the most violent book. Hey, he got his fact, no? He said, that God inside there who wrote that book is so violent, no? If you don't obey him, he condemned you to eternal hell or not? And he quote exact word from the Bible, you know, in many parts. Oh. And this, the Christian cannot answer him. No, well, he quote from the Bible. You read, you know, no, it's so violent. Is it that whole book is so violent? Is it? Whereas he said the Buddha is the only one that is not violent at all. Is it? Oh, the Dhammapada, everything is about truth only. If you don't believe, also never mind one. Whereas that one, you don't believe, he threatened you and condemned you, you know. And in many other verses inside there is like that. Then he said about the argument about the Creator God. You know what was the first argument? The origin of life. Everything must have a cause. The first cause principle, is it? So, the first cause is what? There must be God, is it? Then God create. Then everything come to be. So, logical, isn't it? You know what example he gave or not? He said, our ocean, our river, our tributary, or... You know, the water comes from somewhere, isn't it? And they always say the source, isn't it? He said, where got source? You try to trace the source of the river and see. You can never find. Why? You all don't study geography, or not? Huh? How did you get water into the stream? There are tributaries, isn't it? There is a catchment area that catch all this water, rainwater, underground water, everything in there. So where got source? It comes from everywhere, understand the condition. There is no, and during dry season, the whole stream can dry up to where? Then during the winter, the whole river can be frozen and people can drive over it. Understand? Where got source? Of course, it's in the Himalaya when the ice melt. But it's not the source, understand? It's nature's condition, physical law, nature's law. Then when the sun's ray come, then when it's hot enough, it will melt. Then this one will find its way, understand? Now? then it will flow and form a stream following nature's condition. Then whatever changes in between will cause the thing to change. Everything is in a state of flux. Then he went into many other... You get hold of the book and read, I tell you, you will love it. And he also described why he was like kicked out of the university. They refused to give him grant and all those things, then finally kicked him out. So a lot of things happened. And he is one of the Westerner, you know. He was a Christian initially, you know, but later on he gave up on that teaching. Then he said he wants to write a book and explain why he is not a Christian. And he got a lot of very, very powerful argument or point regarding why he is not a Christian. That's why they call him the greatest religious critic. So sometimes you don't know among our classmates, because I'm the one that not interested in arts one. And I seldom read storybook one, until I forced to read storybook. Well, my language was so lousy, so I have to force myself to read storybook. They say the only way to improve your language is to read storybook. That's why after that I trained my son. Oh, my son very good. He every day, he read a lot. He read a lot. And he read very fast one. So because of that, I think he benefited. My daughter also same, but my daughter didn't read so much as my son. My son read a lot. He liked books. Then now he don't read. He IT. Now he Google everything. The phone. He can find the answer. Whatever topic I tell him. He just Google. Then he can discuss with me. So just now while having dinner, he asked me, "Daddy, today what you want to share with them?" a lot of very interesting things. Okay, anyway, we read on. There's not enough time. Okay, we are on page 455. In the present state of psychology, belief in immortality can at any rate claim no support from science, according to the learned author of The Riddle of the Universe. Wow. This one must be somebody very famous. This theological proof that a personal creator has brief an immortal soul, generally regarded as a portion of the divine soul, into man, is a pure myth. The cosmological proof that the moral order of the world demands the eternal duration of a human soul is a baseless dogma. The teleological proof that the higher destiny of man involves the perfecting of his defective earthly soul beyond the grave rests on a false entropism. The moral proof that the defects and the unsatisfactory desire of earthly existence must be fulfilled by compensative justice on the other side of eternity is nothing more than a pious wish. The How to pronounce this word? Ethnological proof. Ethnological proof. That the belief in immortality, like the belief in God, is an inert truth common to all humanity, is an error in fact. The ontological proof that the soul, being a simple, immaterial, and indivisible entity, cannot be involved in the corruption of death is based on an entirely erroneous view of a psyche phenomena. It is a spiritualistic fallacy. All this and similar proofs of athanatism, why I also cannot understand the meaning, are in a spotless condition. Wow, this guy's English is so powerful. Huh? They are definitely annulled by the scientific criticism of the last few decades. So these are his quotes from that book, huh? Reader of the Universe. Oh, he's supposed to be a very learned author. Eh? But all this to me is not important. Eh? What is important is you inquire based on zero base. Assume you don't know anything. You find out. And it's very easy to find out. That's what I did during the early days. Eh? When I heard about certain religion telling me oh, everything is created by God. God is almighty. Eh? Then I check. I look at myself, I look at the world, I look at everything. Then I ask back that pastor who talked to me. I say, I look around. Everything is just the way it is. Nothing is created. I say, are you being created by God? He looked at me, you know. I say, I'm not created by God. I came from my mother's womb. Everything I saw came through a nature's process. Nothing about God creating. Then I say there must be a first cause. You know why it's a first cause? Isn't it? You don't know why it's a first cause. There must be a cause for the arising of something. You understand? Then I say, if that is your theory, then I ask you, you tell me God created, then who created God? You say there is a first cause, isn't it? He said, God is the first cause. Where you got such thing, understand now? So, when you talk about a creator, means that creator who create, before he create, what was he doing? You understand? That was what that famous physicist, what is his name? The one, the senses of fear one, Stephen Hawking. He wrote in his book, The Baby Universe and the history in what? History in space and time. I forgot the title already. He asked in that book, no? He said, that theory about Creator God, he said, let's assume there is a point in time in history that God created. Fair assumption or not? Yeah? Fair or not? There must be a point in time where he created, isn't it? Let's say billions and billions and billions of years ago. But his question is very simple. What was God doing before he created? If people never ask that question, no? Then how did God come into being? Understand? Huh? Yeah, use the mic. Push it out.
Who created God? Is it another God?
Another God. So you say like that, the Buddhists got more God. Buddhists got so many gods. The Deva rhyme 6. The Brahma rhyme another 16. Then the formless rhyme another 4. And each of these rhyme got a lot of gods. Anyway, not important. Because what I need you to understand is inquire of the thing of. Yeah. Didn't off all. There's one more slot. So, what I need you to understand is everything can be understood if you were to investigate into it and inquire through your silent mind. Yes, your nature within can understand all this. It's nothing difficult. And you can understand who you are, what you are, you will understand the world. And you will understand existence. Because the whole phenomenal world is just a world of consciousness. And you don't have to believe in it. In fact, before you die, you will know what death is. That's why I have a teacher, Achayantra. He is very good, is he? We must learn how to die before we die. You can understand that word. Before you die, you must know how to die. Do you know how to die? If you don't know how to die then, how can you understand death? That's why he said you must know how to die before you die. You must know what death is. Actually nothing died. When I was about 8 or 9 years old, I actually died. Yeah. But my consciousness went out completely. Yeah. And I couldn't go back to my body. Yeah. I was like that. Because that consciousness up there cannot go back to the body. Yeah. Then somehow, my nature know what to do. Pop, it went in. Yeah. Also, maybe not time to die yet. And also, my nature wants me to understand, just for my mind to understand all this before I grew up and developed the meditative understanding. That's why I can share with you all what this thing is that come up. Yeah. And nothing die. That consciousness is trapped inside because of this craving force that binds the consciousness to the body. That's why the Buddha always used the word craving is the cause of suffering. Craving is the cause of rebirth. That's why this craving for hold your consciousness through the law of karma to this body trapped inside, so that it can experience all the whatever sense door consciousness. Means this form of mind can be subject to karma, understand? And the consciousness that is trapped inside will experience all this. That's how the law of karma can operate within the form of mind. So all this you will come to understand. But the form of mind is not you. And that is the most difficult to penetrate for all cultivators. If you can penetrate that, you become beautiful. You will awaken and you will become beautiful. Yeah. So that is the part that you need to understand. No need to worry about what people tell you and all those things. Because for me, a lot of things that doesn't make sense to me, I cannot accept. You ask me to believe blindly, cannot. Because I will probe, I will continue to probe. Yeah. That's why when they told me that God created, then I say, then who created God? Then the final answer is he got to go up a few levels. You know. He went and consulted the pastor. The pastor also cannot answer, then consulted another one, bigger one, don't know from where come, KL or don't know what. Then finally we waited for 1 or 2 months, then went back. Then they told us that one say you cannot question God. Why? God is almighty beyond question. Huh? Like that, ah? Never mind. Because for me, it's an inquiry, understand? If you say He is almighty, then I ask you a very simple question. What can God do? You mean He can do everything? That's why He is almighty. All-knowing, all-loving, all-compassionate. Yeah. So, if He has all this power, then to me it's very simple. Even if I am given such power, I can make a utopia, isn't it? True or not? Yeah? A perfect world, isn't it? But what I saw in this planet is completely chaos, haywire, war everywhere, problem everywhere, suffering, misery, disease, disaster, nature's calamity. Every now and then you heard about them. So what is God doing if He has all the power in His hand, almighty and all those things? Then 911, they say maybe there are more than one God. In that case, certain God won, certain God lost. So, a lot of this question cannot be answered. And because of that, if you have a true inquiry mind, you will not fall for all these things. Because to inquire is very simple. I assume I don't know. I find out. I find out based on what? Based on what I can know. Like science. I'm very interested in science because science is very, very fair. Before they can have 100% proof that it is a theory, they call it a hypothesis. You heard of it or not? Then hypothesis need to be tested, confirmed, then only it becomes a theory. That's why we study physics, chemistry, all based on theory and initially hypothesis. That's why Einstein's theory of relativity, at first people cannot understand him. He said time is the fourth dimension. Time is relative. It varies according to the speed. It is also affected by the observer and the observed. And all these things people cannot understand. Then light. Light is both wave and particle, they say. Then theory of uncertainty. How did the scientists came out? Because they investigate, understand. Then they use the whatever instrument that is available at that time to probe. And now they progress very fast because they have this very powerful telescope and microscope. Then they can actually put to test a lot of physical law or even law of physics which in the past not possible. And they are able to probe the universe with such powerful technology nowadays. Do you know China is building one very, very big I don't know what they call it. It's a very, very complicated and very big microscope. Not microscope, telescope. And that telescope is so advanced, you know, so much more advanced and sophisticated than the Hubble telescope. The Hubble telescope is supposed to be the revolutionary one that gave rise to a lot of breakthrough and understanding. But this one that they are going to complete soon is a very, very massive and improved version. That's why after this, I think there's a lot of breakthrough. I think we can live long enough to see them. Tammy will surely see them. Tammy still got a long way to go. Take Mahathir's age. Still got 50, 60 years. 60. We all not much left. Even live to Mahathir's age, about 30 maximum. So all this is what meditation is all about. You can investigate into it, you can find out. Then you can know clearly who are you, what are you. That's why this question is very important. Who die? What die? Then what takes rebirth? So, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh, because we go through this topic. This topic by the author. Yeah, you repeat your question. No, on it. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just wondering, and I was really thinking about it.
Yeah.
Why is rebirth so important?
Widely discussed, and people take it like very important.
Yeah, because, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
Because Buddha's teaching is always about relinquishing.
Yeah.
Relinquishing. Basically, you non-cling, you don't attach. It's not becoming. But rebirth is very much.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, brother?
Yeah, I know.
Of course, now you're referring to the book, but it's just that this thing kind of occurred in my mind, so I thought maybe I can elaborate,
which is very good. So thank you so much for the good question, Joyce. Yeah. So her question is correct, where she said when she's probe or discuss this, or when she goes into the meditative understanding of the teaching, he realized most teachers, they teach about relinquishment, understand not? Relinquish the craving, the attachment, the self delusion and all those things. But a lot of people who are not in the spiritual field, they are more interested in the rebirth aspect, which actually has not much use as far as the teaching is concerned. Because in the teaching it's very clear, the Buddha said, the five aggregate of form and mind, the human being or the living being, is not you. They are subject to change. That's why they have these universal characteristics of impermanence, leading to suffering. And ultimately, it's non-self or empty nature, not a permanent unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, grasp on to and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. The reason for this is because most people are not interested in the meditative aspect. Most people are curious. That's why curiosity kills a cat. Cat also will die. They are curious. Because they are curious about rebirth. To them, they have this sakyadity, self-delusion. They want to know, after death, what happened to me? Where will I be reborn? Then what do they hear? They hear from certain religion, if you don't believe in their religion, you will be condemned to eternal hell. Okay? So there is fear. That's why they don't know how to die. And they don't know what death is. That's why there is this very, very strong fear about death. Yeah. And they are so concerned that they don't want to talk about death. They would rather not talk about death. But to them it's taboo. Something that you shouldn't discuss. But like the Buddha said, death is inevitable. Death is a reality. Whatever that is born will die. Whatever that is of the nature to arise will cease. So this universal truth or universal understanding of the law of dependent origination is very important. That's why the Buddha only taught this law of dependent origination, which is nature's law. And there are two parts to it. One part is the physical law of nature, utuniyama. The other one is the law of karma. Law of karma is regarding the volition involving the thought process, the mind. So that one is the karmic law. Karmic law. Involving mental intention, cittina. So both are nature's law. So regarding rebirth, if you don't have the meditative understanding, you will find it very difficult to comprehend. Because you always have this concept of a self taking birth. But if you truly meditate and understand, actually there is nobody inside there. He know you, he know me. No one born, no one die. No one sick, no one old. And rebirth, like I mentioned, is just the rebirth consciousness conditioned by that karmic nature to take another form of mind. That's it. And that form of mind is neither the previous one or the new one. That form of mind is part of the continuity of that karmic nature. Where every segment of life you come, you have a form of mind. And you have taken birth over there. Aeons and aeons of birth and death. But each and every one of that happened, none of them are you. If you say they are you, then one moment you are born as a chicken, one moment you are born as a devas or a human being or hell being or whatever. Then which one is you? Every one of these is never you. But they are part of the segmented life of your karmic nature. That's why your summation of all the karmic, the karmic thought process of every segment of your life, they will become your karmic nature. So the karmic nature is a summation of all the mental volition that the form and mind of yours take during each and every birth until now. Then it will continue for maybe eternity. For you to break free from that karmic nature, you need to realize the enlightenment, which is Nibbana. And then if you decide to cease and not to come back, then everything ends. But for Bodhisattva, they will continue to come back because they know that karmic nature is still there. And that karmic nature for them, most of them, is perfected really. So that's why they are very happy to come. And they choose to come. That's why they can have the understanding of the existential world through the understanding of the unconditioned. That's the reason why under the Heart Sutta is mentioned, when you understand true emptiness, life is beautiful, life is wonderful. So true emptiness is wonderful existence. That is the meaning. That is the deep meaning. So regarding your question, it's because most of them are not into the spiritual aspect. If they are into the spiritual aspect, then their concern is the inquiry into the teaching is more of how to develop the understanding, the wisdom to liberate the mind, to free the mind from attachment, craving, clinging, grasping, and holding on to the phenomenal world. So you need to have the understanding and the ability to see clearly, to see things as they are, to understand clearly what existence is all about. It's just a phenomenal world of consciousness, world of form, world of mind. So when you can see form, the unreality of form, then you can see beyond form. Then form loses its meaning and power over you. Then your mind can free and liberate. Then after that, you will reach the mind. And the mind can still deceive you. That's why you have to learn to see mind, the unreality of mind. Then see beyond mind. And when you see beyond mind, you will see your true nature. Your true nature is beyond the mundane mind, beyond the conditioned mind. And that nature is just that oneness nature, that true mind, that true nature, that pure awareness, that can see things as they are, that can awaken to the universal characteristics of impermanent suffering state and non-self or empty nature of existence. So once you have that ability, you will understand the whole of nature's creation. You will understand life. You will understand the secret of life. You will know who you are, what you are. And you will know how to live life. Then that form and mind can transcend life. It can liberate itself from birth and death. Yeah. Then you can realize the ultimate cessation of form and mind, which is the realization of Nibbana, which is the enlightenment. Yeah. Not until you realize that. In Mahayana, they call it, you realize the Pu Sen, Pu Mie, Ming Xing, Jian Xing. When you can realize your true nature through that bright mind, with wisdom, with understanding. So this is basically the summary of what the teaching is all about. So this particular topic, is very interesting when you have the ability to inquire into it and develop the understanding. Okay? Yeah. Then we read on. We got another 5 minutes running. If nothing in the form of a spirit or a soul passes from this life to another, then what is it that is reborn? This is the question. In this question, it is taken for granted that there is something to be reborn. A few centuries ago, it was argued, cogito ergo sum. Wow, the English translation also not easy. I think, therefore I am. True, but first, it has to be proven that there is an I to think. I think, therefore I am. Oh, tentative already. Okay, we stop here. Because he used the thought, that's why he said, I think, therefore I am. So he is not wrong. Understand? The thought is egoic, isn't it? When you think, you become that, isn't it? Correct or not? I think, therefore I am, because that is the ego, the egoic thought. Thought can never understand things that are beyond thought. means the unconditioned. The thought is still within the conditional. Thought is still limited. That's why it's egoic. Yeah. Because we are the oneness, the spacious awareness, the pure awareness. Then how did we create thought? To create thought, we need the content. And the content need perception. Understand? You need to perceive something for thought to arise. And it's from memory. That's why when you perceive, means you shrink the spacious awareness into a limited focus where you perceive. That's how thought becomes limited. From the vast spacious awareness, you shrink and you become a thought. Then through your views, opinion, and your conditioning and your memory, you input the content. That's how the content, together with the pure vyanang or receptacle consciousness, trigger of the thought. That's how you create thought. Thought come about because of that content you input into that space. That's why it become alive. Yeah? And it become a thought. And you cling on to that thought, thinking that it's real, thinking that it's you, and thinking that you are the creator of that thought, or you are the thinker. Yeah. It's very logical, isn't it? They always say, if there is no thinker, then how did the thought come? They always say, there must be a thinker. Your teacher also tell you, go back and think about it. When you don't understand, go back and think about it. So who think? You think, you think. You never think. Thought is respond to memory. The baby don't have memory, where got thought? You go and ask the baby, name one baby. He got no memory, he cannot create thought, understand? He cannot respond to you. So thought don't need a creator. Thought arises through condition. That's why it's dependent originating. Condition arising. That's why what type of thought depend on your conditioning, your views, your opinion, and your belief system, and your condition. It's all from memory, your brain. Yeah. So all this we have already gone through. So it's like a revision for you to understand it more easily. Yeah. In fact, this book, the author still got a lot of things he doesn't understand. But for us, we use it as a reference for us to discuss the Dhamma. The reason why I want you to go through this book is because I realize a lot of you all, you never started with basic Buddhism. Understand? The life of the Buddha, you never get to understand. That's why this book is very useful. It's about the Buddha and his teaching, including his life history and all those things. So at least you are exposed to it. Otherwise, I find that it's very difficult for you all to actually have a clear understanding of his teaching. Without having the understanding of the general life history of the Buddha and his essential teachings in the what they call sutta form, it's not easy for you to understand. Where it involves so many aspects, especially the law of karma. Last time we went through, this is a very big topic. And then now come to rebirth and all those things. And this topic is not easy for normal people. You read the book, you can't understand much. It's a lot of theory, and he bring in a lot of author, those that he believe can support support Buddhism. But he doesn't bring in all those books that is negative against Buddhism. So in a way, the author is biased in that sense. But if you want a true discussion, I think it's good to have the viewpoints of other religious people. Sometimes they have their own what they call way of explaining things. But if you have the understanding of the Dhamma, you listen attentively, then you know What they understand is limited. Then what they use to argue is also limited. That's why they have not gone beyond mind. It's all within the thought process, thought base, mainly. And they draw from various reference to explain or argue with you. But they don't have much self-realization, especially the consciousness part, the awareness part. Very few people have that. Okay, so we end. So we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we will share merit, transfer merit. We also must share merit with Hui Lin. Yeah, Hui Lin. So let us recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have developed. Then we will invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for our Kainamita, Sister Tan Hui Lin, who is still in Spain. still in Spain. So she may have to go through an operation, I think, if I'm not wrong. Because the doctor's advice, she must not fly back. Not fit to fly. So on the doctor's advice, I think they advise her to take the operation. But if I'm not wrong, it's angioplasty. Should be a very safe procedure. Angioplasty is now 99% safe. So not a problem. But whatever it is, we will invoke power of merits. By the power of whatever wholesomeness of merits that we have developed over the past 2-3 hours, may arise the causes and conditions for Kayamita Tan Hui Lin to recover to good health, to good mind state. And may she has a smooth and successful operation if she needs to do it. And may she recover well, and may she make it back to Malaysia sooner possible. She's supposed to her joyous for the Guiyang trip, but according to her, she said she may not be able to make it. So she decided to give up her seat. Then I think Anne's niece is taking over. Alicia, not this one, that one, younger one. So because of that, according to Anne, when she talked to her through the phone, she is back to normal, like nothing. But because the flight takes long time, so I think the doctor is concerned because that artery, according to the CT scan, I think, also 3 arteries, one of them 90% blocked. So the doctor advised her to, I think, do the procedure. It could be an angioplasty, I think, very likely, I'm not very sure. But anyway, we gave our blessing. Then you all can, on your own, when you are back home, these few days, just radiate your metta to her. Then invoke power of merits to help her. So hopefully, with all this, she will be okay. But it's a blessing in disguise, because all paid by insurance. He went on a trip sponsored by the insurance, Etika. Etika insurance, the Maybank insurance. So because it was on Etika, the officer there took care of everything. Otherwise, big problem. Because she didn't even bring her credit card. And the hospital charges is not cheap. So I was told it could be in the form of euro. Euro, maybe, I don't know, how much, 100K? Huh? 4 point something. No, what is the hospitalization surgery bill in Europe? Don't know. Must be. But never mind, the insurance will take care. So it's important, the other thing is, if you go for tour or what, you better buy travel insurance. Don't play a fool. Don't go and save that money. Then when you buy, like our spiritual trip, a lot of you all like to buy your own annual insurance or what. Please don't. Because in their case, they actually almost lost their ability to claim. No? Because they buy their own. And their own one, I don't know how, very difficult to you buy through like our spiritual trip, everything he will handle. And he will get the claim for you, and he will prepare everything that you need for you. Then all the whatever admission, all they will do it. So that is the advantage. You do on your own there. If let's say Hui Lin this trip go on her own, I tell you she has problem. Because it will not be under ethical. Then you will have to find out what is their contact number, all those things. Then a lot of complication. But if you buy through them, any flight delay can claim, cannot claim, they will know, they will do process for us as a group. Like those who went to India last time, I was told by Suyan, their delay more than 2 hours, they can claim. 3 hours. Then they can claim. And they got the money. He said he will be getting the money. Then there is another case last time, I remember. The flight was delayed a lot more, I think. And they managed to claim quite a lot. There was one trip also. So that one they were given overnight stay, food, everything. So that one I think they claim quite a lot. It seems every 4 hours there is a rate you can claim. Of course there's a limit. But whatever it is, it's just an advice. If you travel with that travel agent, you buy from them easier, so that anything they can deal. Okay, now we will share marriage with the devas, and after that, with the other beings, then you can make your aspiration. Then we end. Akka sata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang animoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana itta wata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. Before that, we will chant the blessing for the nation too. Deo satakalena sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhamiko. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can pay respect to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Thank you.